How do you follow in the footsteps of a great, great man? Now, most of us as preachers, when we follow somebody that has been in a congregation, you know how tough it can be. I was blessed to be part, and am still, by the grace of God, to be at East Ridge. Brother James Watkins, some of you know, remember Brother Watkins, a tremendous gospel preacher. Can't imagine, here's a young man like I was at the time. There was a preacher in between Brother Watkins and our work there. And I always felt that that preacher got the brunt of following a great preacher like Brother Watkins. But can you imagine what it was like for Joshua to follow the footsteps of Moses? Moses, the great leader of the nation of Israel. Moses, as he led the people out of Egyptian bondage and all of those plagues brought by the Lord upon the land of Egypt. And Moses, with a rod in his hand, leading the people of God out of Egyptian bondage and leading them through the wilderness. Some 40 years, Moses led those people. Joshua was right there with him. Joshua saw the leadership that Moses gave unto the nation of Israel. In Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says that the day came that Moses died. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Who is going to fill the shoes of Moses? There's an old country song. Who's going to fill their shoes? And the songwriter and the singer talks about some of the great singers of country music of years gone by that have died. Who will fill the shoes? I think of the great work that is done by Lads to Leaders and Leaderettes. I think of some of our young men at East Ridge who are doing a tremendous job growing and developing into leaders in the Lord's church. Some of these young men are doing a wonderful work in leading songs. They will stand up and they will share great lessons. And we think about how that these young men are going to come along, and someday when we are no longer able to serve the Lord, when our work is finished, and somebody steps up and accepts the great work that the Lord's church continues to do, it is those young people who today are growing and developing, even as did Joshua, growing under the leadership and the example of the great man Moses. God tells Joshua, Joshua, I want you to understand that just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you in the work you're going to do. And oh, how that must have encouraged the heart of Joshua. In verse 5 of Joshua 1, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Joshua then received from the Lord the encouragement that he needed to lead the people of God. And dropping down to verse number 8, which will serve as our text for study tonight. Joshua is told by Jehovah, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." To anyone accepting the role of leadership, anyone that is going to be used in a mighty powerful way by God, there are some things that Jehovah tells Joshua that will encourage him when he takes on the mantle of leadership of the nation of Israel. Joshua is told first, pick up the law of God. Speak the law of God. Did you notice in verse 8? The first phrase, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." When you stand before the nation, declare my word, speak my law. And the speech that Joshua would give out of the law of God would not only bless his life as a leader, but also it would bless those who were listening to what he was saying. The law of God, the book of God, what was it? There were only 5 books that would have been in the possession of Joshua. We call these the books of the law. And the books of the law that God had revealed through Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These 5 books of the law were in the possession of Joshua. And out of those books of the law, Joshua would be able to teach and speak the word of God. Do we today need the same encouragement? Do we need men who will stand up and speak only the word of the Lord? What is the motto of the restoration movement? As we've gone back and we have adopted the desire to restore New Testament Christianity. And all of us know that we have heard this little phrase written by the Apostle Peter in chapter 4 of his first epistle, verse number 11, that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as the word of God. The demand then upon anyone who stands before an audience of the people of God, or anyone who comes into our assembly, is that that man standing in the pulpit must be one who speaks only the word of God. And we go back and we restore that desire and that goal of speaking only the oracles of God. Look at verse number 13 of the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua is told, "Unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and to half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember." Remember what? "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land." Do we need again, as Joshua says to these tribes, to remember what God has spoken to us in His Word? Oh, how easy it is for us to forget what God has commanded, to believe or to feel that it really isn't important that we remind the people of God of what God's Word teaches. You go to chapter 3 and verse number 9 of Joshua. "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Now you have come here to Lake Hills tonight. What do you want to hear? What is the desire in our hearts this evening? Is it not that we're able to stand and declare unto you the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord your God? The great challenge then that Joshua had, that he would be able to effectively lead the people of God, is to speak the word of God with his mouth. Secondly, notice Joshua is told in that verse, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua, what are you supposed to do? You are to study my law. You are to meditate therein. Do you remember the words of the psalmist? Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he, the one who meditates in the law of God day and night, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If we meditate then with our minds in the law of God, we'll use our minds in that way. Our mouth will speak the correct words. Again, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. What do we think about during the day? Do our minds ever reflect back on the Word of God? Have we begun the day in the Word of the Lord? And as we begin our day, maybe going out to work or going to school or whatever we're doing in life that day, if we've begun the day meditating in the Word of God, that day is going, I promise you, it is going to be a better day. When we meditate day and night in the Word of God, let our minds feed upon the Word of the Lord. Surely Joshua would remember the words of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, where the Bible there says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We feed then through meditation. We study with our minds. We feed our hearts upon the Word of God. Paul told the young preacher Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, till I come, in verse 13, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, here's what Paul encourages the young preacher Timothy to do. Meditate. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continuing in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How do we need to use our minds? How do we need to reflect upon the Word of God? Joshua, if you will meditate and study my Word, then through the correct studying of my word, your mouth is going to speak the word of truth. And oh, how we need today to be reminded of the need for all of us to follow that great encouragement to meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. To do all written in the law of God. And sometimes we don't want to do all. We want to look at the Bible sort of as a cafeteria style thing. That is, we go through the cafeteria, we have the choices that are there before us of our meal. I want this, I don't want that, I'll eat this, but I don't want to eat that. And we make choices relative to the diet or what we're going to feed upon in the cafeteria. But the Bible, you see, is not a book of cafeteria style. We're to be willing to do all that God commands, all that God says for us to do. And in doing all and meditating upon all, that is what we need to be teaching unto others. Oh yes, there are some things that we might teach unto others that are not always easy. There are some things that I may want to sort of overlook or push to the side because it might ruffle feathers. It might make someone feel a sense of guilt. It might make someone upset or angry. But we live in a culture and a time that does not want to embrace and teach and preach all of the law of God. But there are things that God commands that I can't overlook. I've got to be willing to observe all of it. All of it that applies to my life and all that I want to share with others, do according to all that is written therein. And I want you to notice verse 7. Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know, I think one of the great dangers that we face in the church of the Lord tonight is what I would describe as extremism. You say, Brother Charlie, what do you mean by extremism? Well, there are those who are going to the extreme left of liberalism. And they're accepting things and teaching, preaching things in congregations that are not authorized by the Word of God. That is going to the left. Going to the what I call the liberal left. But then there are those who are going to the rigid right. That is everything and everybody except yourself and maybe just a few others in your little inner circle. Everybody else is wrong. And they begin to judge others based upon matters of opinion. Matters that are not revealed in the Bible. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we're silent. And we ought to always be careful that we not go into this attitude of a rigid right and begin to be so ultra-conservative that we mark and we withdraw from everyone that doesn't agree with me on every matter of opinion. I've told brethren at East Ridge, and I'll tell you tonight here at Lake Hills, I want East Ridge, I want Lake Hills to be what I would call a balanced congregation. What do you mean by balanced? I mean we neither go to the left or to the right, but we stay true to the Word of God. I want to be a Bible-centered preacher. I want to be a Christ-centered preacher in every church that is going to be blessed by God is not going to the left hand or to the right hand, but they are basing their convictions upon only what the Bible says, Brother Franklin Camp. But the late Brother Franklin Camp, maybe some of you had heard Brother Camp preach. Wonderful gospel preacher. Brother Camp had a lesson entitled, The Most Neglected Essential in the Restoration Movement. Brother Camp said this, that in matters of faith, there must be unity. In matters of opinion, there must be liberty. But in all things, there must be love. Love. Brother Franklin Camp said that, in his estimation, was the neglected essential in the restoration movement. Brethren on the left who are so liberal, they bite and devour those that they think are conservative. Those who are ultra conservative bite and devour those who are trying to be true to the Word of God and be balanced. And you're getting shot at from both sides. We don't want to go to the left hand or to the right. And as we study, as we meditate upon the Word of God, that is where we need to take our stand tonight upon those things revealed and written in the Word and the law of God. Well, third and finally, in order for Joshua to be that great leader of the nation of Israel, not only must he speak the Word of God, the law of God, not only must he study the law of the Lord and meditate therein, but then there is great success that will come to him when he does what he's being encouraged to do here by the Lord. For then when? Then how? Then when you speak the law of God, then when you study the law of God, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I believe tonight churches desire to be prosperous. They desire to grow. They desire to influence other people. Churches and individuals desire not only prosperity, but they desire to have good success in whatever work is being done. The only way that a congregation, the only way an individual, notice Joshua himself, Joshua, you will have good success. You will prosper in your way when you speak my law, when you study my word. Then success will come to you. And how we ought to be praying for tonight, the growth, the advancement, the prosperity and the success of the work of the Lord everywhere. How that ought to be our goal, that every congregation is doing good, is a blessing wherever it exists. It is a congregation prospering, a congregation successful in the work of God. But on the other hand, if one fails to speak the law of God, if one fails to meditate and study the Word of God, there can be no success. When one fails to do what they're being encouraged here in these verses to do. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We do not allow God and His Word to build the church, to build our work, to build our house. We will labor in vain. Because you see, God's hand, God's Word, God's blessing is not in it. When our Lord closed out that great Sermon on the Mount, you remember these words, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon what Jesus taught. But when one does not do what Jesus commanded, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Because you see, there was the hearing of the word, but there was not the doing of it. And so the way that we're going to succeed, hear, teach, live the Word of the Lord. And by so doing, our lives will be blessed with great prosperity spiritually and great success in all that we're trying to do to serve the Lord. What a great verse. Take it home with you. Think about it. Be one who speaks only the law of God. Be one who studies and meditates in that law day and night. And then, we can be people of great success in serving our God. We're going to sing the invitation song Brother Sammy has chosen. If you're in this audience, you need to respond, and we give you that opportunity. If you believe in Jesus and would repent of your sins, would confess the name of Jesus before this audience and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you now have that opportunity. If we can pray for you in your spiritual life, whatever your need, the invitation is yours.